You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Flying solo today, kind of short notice. Got in from the rain. Got some property cleaned up. Getting ready for a big shindig here at the house tonight. You guys know that we're not doing a show this evening, so thought we would slam a little afternoon show in. That way we get some content out here as we're closing in on the draft on the pod as well. So I know Tim was going to try to jump on with us, but he's busy doing yard work himself. Jacob's probably out. He's out running around with the ladies, I would imagine. You know, and of course, Emilio got family in town. They came down from New York to see him. So I hope everybody is doing well out there. Hope everybody's having an awesome Saturday. I know there's some UFL football on. I've been trying to catch a peek at that as I've been going through the afternoon here as well. So let's do this. Let's go. Actually, before we get into the chat, I'm going to go ahead and kill the cam so we ain't got to stare at my ugly mug since I'm not trying to make eye contact with other co-hosts here. So hopefully you guys are okay with that. Now, a little bit of news, not really news, but I thought this was an interesting tweet that came out. I think it was yesterday from Easton Butler on Twitter. He said the Packers met with Oklahoma center Andrew Rame twice, once at the Senior Bowl and once at the Combine. Rame is also a massive Packers fan and said, quote, "If the Packers drafted me, I'd put it," talking about a cheesehead hat, "on my head right then and there," Rame said, smiling. "I definitely wouldn't mind that," per Gary Wolfell. I hope I'm saying that correctly. So Andrew Rame, obviously, he's not a top 30 visit. But again, met with the Packers a couple of different times. He was a Senior Bowl participant. Now, when I looked at him on my big board here, just to kind of see on the horizontal board about where he sits to see, okay, what range would he be sitting in? He actually comes in worthy of the 93rd pick on my big board. Okay, so just to kind of give you an idea of where he's sitting, he's in that same range with, you know, a couple of different positions, really. You got Ben Sinnott tied in from Kansas State. You got Jermaine Burton, which the Packers had a top 30 visit there from Alabama. You know, you got Kendall Milton, halfback from Georgia. He kind of meets all the thresholds for the Packers. He's one that might potentially be on the Packers' radar. You got Ulofosio, linebacker from Washington, who obviously he was a Senior Bowl participant as well. He meets all the thresholds for the Packers, or at least the maximum thresholds according to PackerReport.com. There were some of the specifics at the linebacker position. Then we have Tyke Smith, safety, who played the slot quite a bit, also played in the box there for Georgia. He was a Senior Bowl participant as well. So all those guys are kind of in the same range as Andrew Rame. So when you hear me say worthy of the 93rd pick, it simply means all those guys are right there around the same spot in that same tier. And that's why he may fall, you know, on my board. He might be a lot less than that, like when you look at the vertical board as a whole. But again, the horizontal board is what you really want to keep up with when it comes draft time. The vertical board is just a good way to get organized, if you will. So just wanted to kind of show you guys and gals exactly where he lands on the horizontal board right now. Now, let's go to the chat real quick. I know we had several people in here hanging out, talking a little football. Ron Sandville says, little break from splitting firewood to see what kind of Packers need Clayton and the boys come up with. Appreciate you swinging through, Ron. Get that firewood chop, man. That's what I refer to as redneck therapy right there, man, for sure. So let's see here. SDM40 says, Clayton, where do you have the Kentucky cornerback ranked? Phillips, talking about Andrew Phillips, right? I think some people were calling him Drew. Figure you're the armchair Wildcat expert. It's funny you say that because what I try to do, SDM40, one of my pet peeves, and it shouldn't matter how people fan, you know what I mean? I'm not here to tell people how they should or should not fan as a Green Bay Packers fan, but I try to remove all bias from my favorite colleges. You'll hear me mention them, but I promise you guys and gals, there is no bias baked into my board, okay? There's nothing better than the Packers drafting a player from your favorite college, right? I've got two that I follow pretty close, and that's Kentucky and of course, Notre Dame. Notre Dame mainly because of the historical ties to the Green Bay Packers with Curly Lambeau and several other people. But, you know, when Green Bay drafted Randall Cobb out of Kentucky, I lost my ever-loving mind. And it was one of my favorite moments as a Packer fan. We were just, if I remember correctly, we just came off the big Super Bowl, right? And then you turn around and draft Randall Cobb, I think it was in the second round, who's just a Kentucky Wildcat hero, you know, from a football perspective. It was just absolutely awesome. So I would love to see them draft Kentucky Wildcats as long as the board lines up right, right? So let's do this. Let's share the consensus big board real quick, and let's kind of see where he falls on the consensus big board. And you'll see he right now currently is in the 101 spot. He did go on to say he seems to be moving up lately, is what SDM40 said. So Andrew Phillips currently is sitting in the 101 spot. Now, if you click on the consensus big board profile, it shows you where he was, where he started, kind of how he's ended up here. Not how he ended up here, but at least the timeline. Back in December, he was ranked 223rd on the timeline. You'll see he steadily kind of, you know, sloped off through January and got all the way down to 258. So my guess is the consensus big board information I used was probably around the 234 mark. So after the season, all of a sudden in January, bang, or toward late January, he jumps all the way to 177. Not really sure why that happened. You'd have to go look at all of the big boards, you know, from the consensus big board makeup to see why that happened, right? We don't take the time to do that here on this show anyway. So he hovered around the 170 mark and then dropped back in February all the way down to 226, then climbed back up to 125 around February 17th. So I imagine around the combine time, and I don't have those details pulled up right now, he jumped all the way up to 125, kind of steadied off for a few weeks, it looks like, or a few days anyway, then dropped all the way back down to 167 and then spiked back up to right around the 109 mark and sloped back down. And then now recently he's at the highest point he's been to this point in the offseason, in the draft process. He's peaked at 101. So he's currently sitting at 101 according to the consensus big board. Now on my Maka or on my horizontal board here, if I go find Andrew Phillips on it, and I won't bore you guys with sharing that at the moment. Actually, let me just go ahead and close that tab out. That'll help us a little bit. Actually, you know what? I will. It's a little bit hard to read, and I try to explain it as best I can for the folks listening on the podcast version of this. Let me go ahead and show this. I know it's going to be hard to see here. Let me go full screen for you all. And on the horizontal board, I'll try to zoom in a touch here. Let's go like 125 and give you guys a little bit better view on the cornerback position on the horizontal board. So Quinyon Mitchell is the top graded cornerback worthy of the 7th pick. And then you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, Nate Wiggins, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, and Enos Rakestraw are bunched right together on my horizontal board. They're all pretty much worthy of right around the 21st pick. So you could see you've got kind of the pick of the litter, not really the pick of the litter, but you got a pick of some of those top tier guys, right? Some of those guys toward the top end of the draft at the cornerback position. It slopes off a little bit down to about 41 where you get Kamari Lassiter, then Mock St. Rasteel, and then you got DJ James and Josh Newton. Josh Newton's one of my sleepers. I really like him. Now, he doesn't meet the maximum threshold for the Packers, but he is one of those players that, I don't know, I kind of like Josh Newton. He's a name that keeps popping up for me. Then it's TJ Tampa, Renardo Green, Abrams Drain, cornerback out of Missouri. You got Kalen Carson out of Wake. Then you got Smith Wade out of Washington State. You notice we're getting pretty far down the board here, right? That's, you guys didn't believe me when I said there's no bias with my board with Kentucky Wildcats and Notre Dame, but you're seeing it right here. Kalen King out of Penn State, then Kyrie Jackson, Jerrion Jones out of, I guess, Florida State. Yeah, there. So then you got Max Melton. I'm a lot lower on Max Melton than most people. I take the PFF grades into account for the last 2 years. I use the consensus big board back in January. We apply a bonus for the combine numbers and all that. We use the 33rd team as well. We use Daniel Jeremiah if they fall in that top 50 before the combine, that type of thing. Next, you got Cam Hart from Notre Dame. You got Miles Harden from South Dakota. And then you got Mr. Andrew Phillips, cornerback from Kentucky. So I've got him with a 195.6. is the grade. And again, it's just my grading system. There's not another person on the face of the earth that uses the grading system I use. So don't even try to look for it. And again, I'm not sure if that's a good thing. It's just what works for me. I've been doing this now since the first year I did this. I think it was 2011, technically. It was right around the time that the Packers won the Super Bowls when I really started digging into building draft boards and stuff. But so he comes in at the 130 spot. Now, again, the consensus big board has him like at 101 right now. He's peaked, right? When I say the 130 spot, that means he's worthy of the 130th pick. So he's probably significantly lower than that on my vertical board. Matter of fact, I may be able to just give you a quick reference without pulling it up. Let me go to the vertical board real quick, and I'll tell you exactly where he ranks on my board. He, of course, being Mr. Andrew Phillips. Where are you at, sir? Let's search for him so we can save a little bit of time here. Yeah, so I've got him in the 192 spot on the vertical board, okay? So that kind of shows you when you look at the horizontal board and him being worthy of the 130th pick, it's because you got all these guys kind of grouped up, right? And that's kind of where he lands. So hopefully that answers your question there, SDM40. And again, it gave us kind of a quick glimpse at the cornerback position as a whole. There's Mr. Elijah Jones, who played for Jeff Hafley at Boston College. He comes in worthy of the 140th pick on my board as it sits right now. So, again, hopefully that answered your question there, SDM40. And since we're talking about Jeff Hafley here a little bit, the Packers actually released the video, I think it was earlier today, actually, where Larry McCarron was interviewing Jeff Hafley. And it's really cool to kind of get into the mindset of Jeff Hafley. One thing I really appreciate about Coach Haf, at least early on here, is he seems like he's going to lead by example. You know, he's one of those guys that the players are going to respect him because he's going to put in more time than them, grinding the film, grinding the tape, all that good stuff. You guys know other players that have played for him have referred to him as the wizard. He's always prepared, and he always has his defensive backs prepared. So I'm excited to see what he can do with this defensive backfield, especially with the arrival of Xavier McKinney. Of course, you got Jaire Alexander, who, by the way, we didn't mention that last week on the pod. Jaire Alexander is in town for OTAs. Pretty cool seeing him and Xavier McKinney kind of walking together there. So they're already kind of creating a little bit of chemistry. That's going to be a menace for opposing quarterbacks and receivers. There's no doubt about that. So let's go here to the video. Again, this is from Packers.com. You can find it on their Twitter account, their X account for free as well. Make sure you give it a like, a share, all that good stuff. It's Larry McCarron sitting down with Coach Hafley.
Steps up, hit from behind, down he goes.
Hands and it's picked off.
Hit from behind,
down he goes.
The exclamation point for the defense.
I'm assuming you've watched every play of every game. What'd you take away from it?
We've got really good players, very talented players. I think the D-line has depth, and they have some guys that played their best football last year. And the same thing I see at the linebacker position. I know Quay and McDuff have kind of been the guys at the end that were playing. And then the back end, you know, we have maybe the best corner in football. He's a fun guy to be around, and he loves ball, and he's super talented in job. And then you get Keyshawn, who we were really excited to have back playing nickel. And then you get Xavier to play safety, seeing all the things that he could do. And then the younger guys that got experience here that give us some depth, and now we have competition for other spots that are open. I'm excited to be around this whole team. At the end of the year, watching in the playoffs, they were so hot and playing so well. It's one of the reasons I wanted to be here.
How will your defense look different than what they're used to seeing?
We're going to attack. I told the players I want to lead the NFL in effort, and I want to lead the NFL in how hard we play, and I want to lead the NFL in taking the ball away. I want people to see the confidence that our players are playing within themselves and with their teammates, and showing them how much they care about each other and this team by how hard they play and how hard they run to the ball and the effort that they give.
Intercepted! Coming back with a Jaire Alexander.
What do you do as the defensive coordinator to encourage that kind of culture where takeaways are just part of your DNA?
You prioritize it, and it's not just talk. It's every day in meetings showing them how we're going to do it and teaching how we're going to do it. And then it has to show up in practice, and then it needs to show up in the games. That is priority number one. We have to take the ball away.
Kenny Clark said, your defense will allow the guys up front to be way more disruptive. How so?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna line up with our hand in the ground. We're going to try to get off the ball and key the ball and get upfield as fast as we can and be disruptive and create a new line of scrimmage. That's probably the biggest difference for those guys up front right now. Get their butts up in the air and let's go forward and attack. I'm sure some of the guys are excited about doing that.
In general, would you say defensive guys are more fun to coach?
I don't know if they're more fun. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that question. I think some position groups, as I've learned, like today, I went in all three meetings. After I was done as a unit, sat in with the DBs, way different than going to linebackers. I mean, different personalities,
yeah.
Different energy in the room. And then you go to the D-line, and it's the beauty of it is, though, you piece those all together, and that's when you get going.
In that first session you had with the media in Green Bay, you could see you're passionate about football. What do you love about the game that makes you that passionate?
Oh, there's so much I love about it. I love working with the staff. I love being around the locker room. I love to compete. I can't wait till we get out on the field for mini camps and once we get to practice and piece it all together. I want to try to do my best to make every one of these players get to where they want to be and achieve all their goals. And even greater than that, I want to win here. And I want to help Matt, I want to help the Packers, I want to help everybody involved and win as many games as we can. You know, that's what drives me, that's what motivates me.
Man, what a breath of fresh air. Excited to see what Jeff Hafley can do here in Green Bay for sure. He's one of those guys that you can tell he has a very high social IQ. And some people hear that and go, what in the heck are you talking about? A social IQ, and this is something that's pretty big in the business world, is you having an accurate depiction of how other people see you, right? What other people's, let me think of how I can word this, what their perception of you is. You ever been in a room with people and, you know, maybe one individual and you and him or you and her, you walk into a room full of people and you just start getting that secondhand embarrassment, right? Like that you just feel like, God, this is weird. Like, they don't understand how silly they sound. They don't understand how selfish they sound. They don't understand how often they say I, right? How often they say me, what I've done, you know, what I'm going to do. Let me tell you about this time that this happened to me. It's just me, 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 I. You can gather a lot from people if you just sit back and listen to how often they talk about themselves. And it's like, it's usually kind of a window into who that person is, a touch. It doesn't make them a bad person. But again, that social IQ is like they don't fully grasp how other people are seeing them. And with Jeff Hafley, the thing I notice, extremely high social IQ. That dude is constantly aware of what's coming out of his mouth and how other people are kind of viewing him, right? That's why you hear the players, they absolutely love him, right? So I don't know. That comes to mind when I hear Jeff Hafley speak. So, yeah. Like Margin Cron said here in the chat, there's a lack of social IQ in this chat. AFAM. I love it. But it's something that's important. And, you know, perception is reality, man. Some people would say, oh, well, that's not what I meant. It doesn't matter what you meant. How was it perceived, right? And, you know, perception is reality. How people perceive you is their reality of the person you are. And you could say, well, I don't care what people think of me. All right, good luck with that when you're working on projects that involve other people, you know. It's just one of those things. I think it's important in life. It's important in business. It's important in success. And it's damn sure important when you're building a football team and trying to get them to buy into your message. You can complain about players not buying into your philosophy, your message, but don't be surprised if it's because you don't know how to kind of grab their attention, right, and get them to buy into what you're wanting to do. I think Jeff Hafley's going to be really, really good at that. I really do, man. I'm excited to see how it all unfolds here as we get into the season. Prince in the chat said, I have him and Nehemiah Pritchett in the same range, talking about Andrew Phillips, I imagine, or maybe even Elijah Jones. You can see Andrew Phillips, we've got I don't have the board up here. Let me flash it up one more time for you guys. Right here, you can see Andrew Phillips is, like I said, worthy of the 130th pick. Elijah Jones is worthy of the 140th. And then you got Nehemiah Pritchett down here, who's right around the 151 range, right? I'm not saying they should be selected there. I'm saying anything above that, I feel like, is a reach, if that makes sense. So, yeah, hopefully that makes sense. Let's see. Professor Cake says, I want more INTs, interceptions, hands down the most fun play in football. That was the tough part of me watching what happened last year with the defense. There were so many times, there was enough blame to go around. And you guys know I've been very vocal about this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
I said, you know, halfway through the season, yeah, we're going to have to make a change at DC. They're just not getting the message. They're not getting the message, or they're not buying into. They're not buying into what Joe Barry's doing here. But I think I counted they dropped 8 interceptions last season alone. It's like, now, a dropped interception, in my opinion, is not on the defensive coordinator, right? If you catch half of those, that defense probably improves 2 or 3 spots in overall, you know, points allowed. I think Jeff Hafley, though, is going to make these guys want to play for him. I think that they probably didn't want to play for Joe Barry at the end. You know, that's what it kind of feels like. Now, there were some that were very vocal about. Preston Smith was vocal about wanting to play for him. Kenny Clark was vocal about wanting to play for him. But those are guys that are team guys, too. They're always going to buy, and they're just good quality human beings. But hopefully Jeff Hafley, fresh start here, will kind of light a fire under everybody and get everybody unified. Because unification, I mean, you know, being unified as a group, it's how this country was founded. You know, it was a ragtag bunch of misfits that were like, you know what? We don't know just how weak we are as a young colony, you know, group of colonies. Let's just go take on the strongest military empire in the entire world. And when you don't know how good you can be and you just kind of brush it to the side and say, hey, we're going to fight for each other. We're going to play for each other. It's amazing the things you can do. So let's see here what we got. Coach Lynn says, well said, Clayton. Hopefully that made sense, Coach. Sometimes I get to rambling, but that's something I've learned through business is when you're working, when you're putting together a business team, it's absolutely huge to understand how you're viewed by the group, or else no one else is going to buy in. And there's not, and you got to be authentic, man. People see right through fake. And typically people with low social IQs, they think they're the smartest person in the room. Some of you guys just thought of 2 or 3 people in your life and you went, yep, know who you're talking about there, right? It's like they think they're so smart that, well, nobody's going to catch on to this. Let me just be the smart guy in the room. And people see right through it, and they won't follow that, you know? So let's see here. Ron Samble says he has that underlying intensity that I love in a defensive coordinator. Completely agree. It's not like bolsterous. It's not over the top. It doesn't come across as fake, right, Ron? It's authentic. It's authenticity. It's absolutely huge. Drew D says, Clayton has us prepared for the draft. I don't know about that, Drew. We try, buddy. We put in a lot of work, and it's just fun, man. I say work. It doesn't feel like work. This has been so enjoyable. And I know there's many people that comment from time to time and say, I just can't wait for the draft to be over. Most of those people aren't taking the time to really understand the draft. And I don't understand it to, you know, I understand it on a very, very, very minute level, right? But just that little bit that I do understand, man, it's got me completely. Every year I look forward to the draft, man, every year. It's something I'm not one of these guys going, can't wait to get this behind us. I'm sitting here going, man, I wish it would drag out a little bit longer because I just enjoy the prep for it. It takes you inside the building trying to understand what our organization's doing. So Coach Lynn says, I'm excited about Halfley too. Do You Rant says, okay, he was tagging somebody else here. Who's he tagging? Let's see what he had to say. Hopefully it ain't nothing bad here. When I don't have people helping me, they're not in the private chat going, hey, stay away from that one. Christian Lamont in the chat says, don't get to tune in live much, but I try not to miss an episode. Best Packer show on the way. Appreciate it, Christian. Thank you, bub. If I'd known it was that, I probably wouldn't have showed it. That seemed a little egotistic putting that up there. No, but thanks so much for that, man. Do You Rant, that's what he was tagging Christian for and says, I'm with you. I just listened to 4 episodes on my trip this week. Thank you all so much for the kind words, man. Really, really appreciate it. Chad Inc. says, in order for people to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself, but there's a huge difference between arrogance and confidence. You have to know the difference. Absolutely. And you know what? If you are a little arrogant, Chad, as a coach, as a player, I'm sure Coach Lynn can attest to this, you can be a little arrogant as long as you take the time to let your players know, let your colleagues know, your assistant coaches know, the fans, letting the fans know, hey, your opinion matters and we care about you and let's all do this together. You can have a little arrogance, you know, but you're right, man. There is a thin line there. Someone too arrogant is going to get people to shut down, right? And someone who doesn't have enough confidence is just people repellent too, right? So definitely. All right, let's see here. What else were we going to cover? We were going to talk a little draft, but we got another video from Packers.com I want to play for you guys since we're talking draft. I apologize if you hear the pups barking. People are starting to file in here. Somebody asked what's the special occasion. I'm not supposed to say because the person that it involves might be watching, so I'll just leave it at that. It's just a shindig here at the old property, but yeah, anyway, I'm not trying to be secretive. I just, again, they may be watching, so it's a surprise. Donald Driver, one of my favorite all-time Packers, right? What I love about Donald Driver is he's a man's man. He's one of those players that you could tell us, I can't think of one teammate that did not like Donald Driver. You've never heard anybody say anything negative about Driver. Jennings, you heard it on his way out, and I'm not here to bash Jennings. I've got autographs by Jennings here. I've met him a couple of times, and I thought he was a super stand-up dude. Now, obviously, him and Rodgers had, you know, a falling out there toward the end of his run in Green Bay, his being, you know, Greg Jennings. But Donald Driver is like one of those players. JerMichael Finley's another one that, you know, kind of, you know, he rubbed people the wrong way inside and outside of the organization. Donald Driver never did that, right? He's always overachieved his entire life. And I love the story he told on a pod one time. He might have been on with Wilde and Tausch. I can't remember who it was. It might have been another podcast too. But he talked about when he got his contract extension, when they kind of hit a little bit of a stalemate, he went and went straight to Ted Thompson and said the door was always open with Ted Thompson. And went in there and negotiated his final contract with the Packers with Ted. Basically said, I want to be here. And Ted, but we want you here. Let's get this done, right? So really, really cool that he told that story about how, look, hey, it's not just about the money. Yes, every player wants to make as much as they possibly can. Who wouldn't, right? But he had that heart for the team, that heart for the organization, his teammates, that he was willing to go to. Forget my agent for a second. Let me go talk to Ted and see if we can get this thing ironed out. Just a stand-up dude. So this kind of talks, this video from Packers.com, like I said, you can find it on Twitter for free, all that good stuff, just a quick video on Donald Driver. Talks about where he was drafted, which, if I remember correctly, was the 7th round, kind of a little bit about his career, and then it goes into a young receiver on the Packers who's continuing to draw a parallel kind of with Donald Driver, which is really exciting, a player that, as a rookie wide receiver, did something that, to the best of my knowledge, no other Packers rookie receiver has ever done. So let's check out this video from Packers.com about Donald Driver.
25 years ago today, the Packers drafted Donald Driver in the seventh round and never looked back.
Down the sideline, high-stepping end zone, touchdown, Donald Driver, 90 yards, hold on! Caught by Driver, touchdown, a sensational catch between defenders!
The four-time Pro Bowler tallied seven 1,000-yard campaigns and recorded 50-plus grabs in nine straight seasons, both Packers records.
Donald Driver came here as a skinny high jumper, and now he's jumped past every receiver in Packer history.
Number 80 registered 743 catches while eclipsing 10,000 receiving yards. To this day, he remains the Green and Gold's all-time leader in both categories. And now there's another Packers wideout shattering records, the new franchise leader for receptions by a rookie, Jaden Reed.
Fires right side, Jaden Reed's got it!
You can see Jaden's explosive ability. He's done a great job making some really big plays for us.
To the house, for the touchdown!
He's got a lot more comfortable with the system, with the routes he's running, where to be. He's a baller. He goes out there in the game and, you know, he's making plays.
Taking it to the end zone, Jaden Reed, his second touchdown today.
He's had the right mentality and, you know, the right confidence to play at this level and be successful at this level. You know, I think he understands his skill set really well, and he goes out there and puts it on display.
Jaden Reed, the rookie!
He is a dog. He's a war daddy, and not everybody can come in the backfield and get a handoff. I just like how he attacks the game.
Three on the run, inside the 10, to the goal line. What a run by Reed!
Yeah, Jaden Reed, man, buy stock now. That dude, what he did his rookie year, and the thing that sticks out to me the most about Jaden Reed from his rookie campaign is real simple. Do you guys remember when the team was struggling? And I think it was Cassidy Hill who was covering the Packers at the time, who is now, I believe, with the Carolina Panthers, if I remember correctly. And several other people covering the team said after a tough loss, I think it might have been the Pittsburgh game. I can't remember which game it was. But they said that in the locker room, Jaden Reed had the receivers at his locker gathered around. And it wasn't like a rah, rah, rah. You know what I mean? Let's get everybody going. It was a, hey, let's figure this out together. Right. Jaden Reed's another one that when you hear him talk to the media, he doesn't seem like he's a me guy, right? And I think that players are going to gravitate toward him. And he just kind of stepped into that leadership role right off the bat, man. I think he's going to be a phenomenal wide receiver. And again, Goody, you got to tip your cap to Brian Gutekunst. I mean, he absolutely crushed that pick. We talked about it the other day on the pod that every, you know, I shouldn't say everyone. It's such a bad habit. I got to break. Many people would say, well, you know, yeah, Jaden Reed was, you know, he's a second round pick. He should have been good. No one was seeing him as a second round pick, really. Like, I remember on the consensus big board when we looked it up, I think, let's see, they had him. We took him with the 50th pick, right? But the consensus big board had him in the 89 spot. And it rattled my cage so much that it made me kind of change up my philosophy a little bit with building my draft board and adding the 2022 numbers from PFF. Because if you had went through the 2022 numbers and watched the 2022 tape, you would have seen Jaden Reed was a dog. 2023, not so much. So that's why he wasn't on many people's radar. So again, he was 89th on the consensus big board, and the Packers took him. What pick was it they took him with? It was the 50th, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they took Musgrave with the 42nd, I believe. Yeah, so they took Jaden Reed with the 50th pick, and he was 89th on the board. So they reached 89 spots, according to the consensus big board. Now, when I say that, I got to always say according to the consensus big board, because I guarantee you Goody's board, he didn't reach on, right? Like, you could tell he probably had him in his top 50. Easy, you know? So it's important to kind of take those things into consideration. And like we were talking about, why are these guys just randomly jumping? Why are these guys just randomly dropping on the board when no more football has been played? And the reason being is because the media is getting around these guys, right? And they're kind of, you know, they're seeing them at some of these, you know, Senior Bowl practices, things like that, that's going on in the offseason. And the media is raising or dropping their opinion of the players based off of what they've seen. I love what Ryan said the other day on the pod. He said, you got people sitting in the stands from 50 yards away with stopwatches pretending like they're really studying this prospect. Now, if that's what you enjoy doing, do it. It's great. You know, it's awesome. But to pretend like, well, okay, well, no, Trust me, I've seen him from the bleachers, and he's not as good as you think he is. When you've got all this game tape from the last two or three college years on that player, that's why I always try to lean on the tape, on what actually happened in the college football season, as opposed to, all right, what is the media starting to kind of drum up and think about these specific players? Like Daniel Jeremiah said, everything has its place. Everything has its place, right? And it's all valuable information. It's just knowing what to not allow something, you know, to skew your opinion on a player like that. So here in the chat, Joseph says, my first Packers jersey was Driver. Still my favorite ever. You can't go wrong buying a Donald Driver jersey. There's no doubt about that. Right to this day, get a custom one made, you're good to go, man. He'll always be a legend in Green Bay. Jeff Silky in the chat said, Double D's run after the catch against the 49ers is a legendary play in Packers history. We're actually going to do that on Chalk Talk this offseason. When we get past the draft, we're going to do Chalk Talk segments on all the draft picks that we can that we've got footage on for the Packers. So we'll do Chalk Talk segments on like their top college plays, what they do well, what they do bad, that type of thing. Well, mainly what they do well. You know how we roll on this podcast. We're not out here to try to bash Packer players. We want to find the good and say, okay. Bill Belichick said that one time. He's like, I've gotten the scouting reports from certain scouts, and there's no positives, just all negatives. It's like, so you're telling me this guy sucks at football. Like, he can't – no, this is just what he does. I don't want to know what he does bad. Tell me what he does good. What can he bring to the table? If all you're going to do is tell me what he does bad, that's information I can't utilize. I can't implement that into our program, right? So we'll go look at some of the college prospects and kind of, you know, some of their positive plays after the draft picks are made for the Packers. That'll be fun. But then after that, we're going to get some of our top plays in Packers history and do Chalk Talk segments. And one of those is going to be that Donald Driver play against the 49ers where he breaks like eight or nine tackles on one play. It is just absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, I caught that too. Chris N said War Daddy. Pretty cool that Coach LaFleur called Jaden Reed a War Daddy there. He's one of those guys you want to go to battle with, man. No doubt about it. Let's see what else we got here real quick. I know we're falling a little bit behind. I had a couple things I wanted to hit on, but I just wanted to make sure that we're hitting on the really, really important stuff here. Yeah. All right. So one thing I wanted to share with you all is, let me get this screen shared real quick. This is on the NFL Mock Draft Database's website, okay? And it's under the tab that says Draft Targets. And the reason I wanted to hit on this is because, you know, we kind of, as you get closer to the draft, and again, we're less than a week away here. We're actually, 5 days out, if I'm understanding correctly, 5 or 6 days out, whatever it is. You start to really hone in on the first round, right? The first round becomes, all right, who's really on the Packers' radar? And when you look at the players that are going to be right around that pick, that kind of narrows it down. It doesn't mean they're going to go outside of this group of players, but, you know, us picking at 25, what they do is they go in and go, okay, at the consensus big board right now, who are the players that are like maybe 5 or 6 spots higher than 25, meaning, you know, higher on the draft board, and that are underneath it 5 or 6 spots. And that gives you kind of a good little pool that you're probably going to be picking from, right? So with the 25th pick here for the Packers, the Packers player or the prospects that they would refer to as draft targets here on the consensus big board or NFL mock draft database website, they're saying in the 19 spot is Troy Fontana. All right. That's offensive tackle from Washington. You've got in the 21 spot, offensive tackle J.C. Latham. I'm going to tell you right now, man, if J.C. Latham, if he somehow, some way were to fall to the Packers, I would lose my mind. Like, I think J.C. Latham is a solid tackle. He's one of those guys that I think he's got a nickname. Ryan talked about it, I believe, earlier today on his offensive lineman breakdown on the PackerNet podcast, where they referred to him as Trench King, I think it was. And if I remember correctly, I think he's the prospect that Ryan said was actually from Wisconsin. Oak Creek, maybe, something like that. Yeah, I'm with you. Joseph said I'd have to change if they got J.C. Latham. I completely agree. But anyway, you guys do a little fact-checking for me there. See where J.C. Latham's hometown was. I think that was the player that Ryan was talking about was from Wisconsin. That'd be really cool if that was the case. I'll try to keep an eye on the chat here. Amarius Mims in the 23 spot. Now, some people are not as high on Mims. He hasn't played a whole lot of football. That's kind of a knock for me. The other thing is a few injury concerns, right? The fact that he hasn't played that often and he's gotten hurt quite a bit. I think there was a hammy involved. There was a couple other injuries that now there's nothing going in the draft that people go, yep, nope, he's not healthy. It's just history kind of dictates based off the minimal snaps that he's taken, you know, at the college level. The fact that he's gotten hurt, it does. It raises a little bit of a red flag. But Amarius Mims would be a solid one. I would be okay with that pick because he's just got extremely high athletic upside. Number 25 is Johnny Newton. At one point, Johnny Newton was like in the top 15. And we were saying, he'll never fall to us. You guys know I mocked him several times right here on this show. I'd be okay with Johnny Newton. I think he's a solid, solid defensive lineman. He's arguably the best defensive lineman in this draft. Now, I think the large majority of people now have Byron Murphy, hands down, as the best defensive lineman in this draft. But nonetheless, I think Johnny Newton will be a solid pick there too. In the 29 spot, you've got interior offensive lineman Jackson Powers Johnson. Obviously, can play center for you, can play interior at the guard position. That would be a solid pick as well. At the 20 spot, they got Cooper DeJean. Now, you know, you guys know I'm a little bit lower on him, but he's still right there in that wheelhouse as far as you know, where he might potentially be taken. He's worthy of the 25th pick. I'm not a huge Cooper DeJean fan, but if Goody selects him, then obviously he sees something there that that suggests he's worthy of that pick. That's where he's sitting on my horizontal board, is somewhere in that range. I'll take a quick peek over here just to specify what I mean. So, yeah, as far as corners, I've got Quinyon Mitchell as the number one corner. I got Kool-Aid McKinstry as the number two corner. And then I've got four corners kind of grouped together here. Nate Wiggins in this order too. Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, and Ennis Rakestraw. So Cooper DeJean is technically worthy of the 23rd pick. That's right there in that wheelhouse, in my opinion. So I would be totally okay with that pick. Next, you've got Nate Wiggins, solid corner. We just talked about he's right there in that grouping too. Kool-Aid McKinstry is a little bit higher on my board, like I had mentioned. I got a 19.4 on him. And to put that into perspective, on Nate Wiggins, I got a 29.4. So he's 10 points higher. It makes him worthy of the 16th pick on my horizontal board. So Kool-Aid McKinstry is kind of one of my dream picks there. If we were to trade up to 16, like some rumors were saying, we might potentially trade up with the Seattle Seahawks, you know, John Schneider, that whole crew. We got kind of that connection there. And there was a tweet that went out from Yard Barker with an article saying there were several teams that reached up with Seattle looking to potentially trade up with Seattle at 16. The Packers were mentioned. That could simply be Goody calling them and going, hey, what would it take? And there's nothing significant there, right? But Kool-Aid McKinstry, I would be totally on board with. But if you did trade up to 16 and Quinyon Mitchell was somehow, some way sitting there at 16, oh, man, give me Quinyon Mitchell all day long and twice on Sunday, man. I would love that pick. So that's where Cooper DeJean is sitting, though. Again, worthy of the 25th pick. No problem at all there for me. Nate Wiggins, same thing. Kool-Aid McKinstry, obviously, same thing. Interior offensive lineman Graham Barton. I moved him back to tackle on my board because that's where he played his snaps in college. I was kind of under the impression that he probably played a lot of interior snaps at Duke. And if I remember correctly, PFF had all, if not all, a large majority of his snaps at left tackle. So I'm going to keep him at tackle, but we know that everyone is projecting him to be an interior offensive line. So just keep that in mind. I think Mike Wall actually said he's more of a center than anything, although he didn't play center at Duke to the best of my knowledge, at least in the last year or two. So Graham Barton, I've got sitting at the worthy of the 20th pick. So I would be totally on board with that. I got Amarius Mims right above him, worthy of the 18th pick. Graham Barton is lit up green on my horizontal board, which simply means he meets the maximum thresholds for, according to PackerReport.com, and some of the things that the Packers really, really like to specialize in from an offensive lineman standpoint. More importantly, an interior offensive lineman who has tackle experience. He checked all the boxes. The only offensive lineman that checked all the boxes on those thresholds here around the first round talent is Joe Alt, who is hands down slam dunk, in my opinion, tied for the best prospect in this draft, along with Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver. They both got a negative 2.7. They're at the very top of my board. Anytime someone on my board gets into the negative numbers, that means, all right, you got an elite, elite top talent there. Yeah. Here's Jake Shavink. He said Barton played 430 snaps at center in 2020. So you got to go back 2 years, two full years, right? Or three full years, right? So he played 2023, he played 2022, he played 2021, not playing center. And in 2020 would have been when he played center. So that's why I was looking at it. I try to just go back 2 years, because when you get into them 3 years removed, I'm like, how good is this information? Yeah, he could technically play it. But again, it's all about projection too. So I know that the Packers aren't looking up and going, nope, this is all he played. That's all he can do, right? Everything about the NFL draft is projecting to the next level. So I think, you know, there's definitely a possibility he could play center. I just, again, I want my board to be reflective of what has happened in the last 2 years rather than, you know, going 3 years out or whatever it may be. So, Graham Barton, worthy of the 20th pick, according to my horizontal board. And then you got Tyler Guyton. Tyler Guyton is the guy that I'm really struggling with, y'all. I've got him in – he's worthy of the 45th pick, according to the horizontal board. So a bit of a reach for 25. But, again, keep in mind, the Packers have reached in the past as much as 39, 34, 274 spots a little bit later in the draft. The Lou Nichols pick, according to the consensus big board, they actually reached, 149 spots for him. Obviously, he's out of the league now. So they're willing to reach. But if you just go from a first-round perspective there, or a first-round, you know, reach, they only reached two spots for LVN. The year before, they reached 20, I think it was 22 spots or maybe 20 spots for Quay Walker. But they also had Devontae Wyatt fall to them two spots. So he was actually, he fell, you know, he was graded two spots higher according to the consensus big board, and they took him. So the first round feels a little bit different than the rest of the draft as far as reaching. I don't like them reaching to get Tyler Guyton at 25. That really does bother me a bit. But again, if Goody does it, he sees something in Tyler Guyton that's just absolutely phenomenal, right? The thing about Tyler Guyton too, he's one of only two players on my entire board. We're up to almost 300 prospects now. I think 250. We're up to 250 prospects that have been graded out and put on my horizontal board. And Tyler Guyton is one of only two that checks all the boxes, meaning what the Packers like. He met all of those thresholds, right, according to PackerReport.com. He also was a top 30 visit. He also was a Senior Bowl participant, right? So he's the one, he and Trayvon Wallace, who I've got significantly lower than the 33rd team, and most people have where they have Trayvon Wallace. Some people have got him inside the top 100. I've got him outside of the top 100. People are going, I thought you liked Kentucky. All these guys you're dogging on. I'm not dogging on them. It's just that's where they fall on my board, you know, and I'm not going to change it because I'm a Kentucky fan. Listen, I know if these guys go early, whether it's Kentucky or Notre Dame, or I know we got a lot of Wisconsin Badger fans on here. I know if those guys go early, that helps program. They can go back on those recruiting trips and go, hey, look how many guys we had in the first round, right? That's how you get the ball rolling. You get all that momentum created for recruiting in college football, which we may do a college football podcast this year. I'm going to toss it around, ask the Patreon group and see what they think about it. But I thought maybe do one on Fridays and just mix it up a bit, especially if we're doing multiples, because we're doing a lot of different pods right now. I thought it would be cool to maybe Friday night get everybody kind of primed for college football coming up that weekend and do it from a Packers perspective, right, where you're actually looking at it like, okay, here are some of the top prospects in next year's draft. I know it's early, but if you like to watch college football, let's key in on these players right here who are going to be playing this week and maybe some of these big matchups where you can get into players that are going head-to-head, right? That type of thing. So we may do that this year. But anyway, CJ says, you know how I feel about that, feel on that. Hell yes. So yeah, we may do it. We'll toss it around with the guys, because it feels like Tim's getting a little more into the draft this year. You know, being a part of the show, Tim has definitely kind of been like, man, it's a lot more enjoyable than I thought it would be, you know, covering the draft. So maybe we can kind of get a real feel for that during the college season. So, and we can definitely gear it around, have like a good Wisconsin Badger segment, since I know the large majority of the people who listen to the pod are Badger fans. That would be fun too, to kind of do that. Right. But yeah, nonetheless, though, Tyler Guyton is the one I struggle with, but again, If you removed my board's opinion altogether, the consensus big board says that he's in the 30 spot and he checks all those boxes for the Packers. If Goody has him right there in that 30 spot, the fact that he meets all the thresholds, top 30 visit, and a Senior Bowl guy, Goody may pull the trigger on Tyler Guyton. If he's there, maybe Tyler Guyton's gone too. Again, it's just he's not one of my personal favorites, but I would be on board if Goody obviously chose him. So when you look ahead to the second round, a couple of guys here that they're saying that are potential, you know, targets for the Packers. Let's just run through them real quick. At the 41st pick, they're saying offensive tackle Jordan Morgan. I really like Jordan Morgan. I believe he's actually higher than Tyler Guyton on my board. He's worthy of the 27th pick. Played predominantly left tackle at Arizona. He was also a Senior Bowl participant, so that's something that the Packers have liked to draft here in the past. So Jordan Morgan, I would love at 41. I'd actually like Jordan Morgan better at 25 than I would our boy Tyler Guyton, to be honest with you. Next is linebacker Edgerrin Cooper. You guys know I'm a lot lower on him. They've got him in the 40 spot on the consensus big board. They're saying, hey, that might be a potential pick for the Packers if he's still around at 41. We did a deep dive on the linebackers. If you haven't listened to it, you can go back and listen to it. It's really I thought it was a fun episode. I think we did it yesterday, I believe, where we kind of done a deep dive on the linebackers and pointed out what Greg Cosell had to say about Edgerrin Cooper. And what Greg Cosell had to say is he said this is the best linebacker in the draft. Now, it's going to take a year or two because he's got that kind of upside, right? So it's like, I look at Junior Colson now, like I feel like he's a little more ready right now. He's got a higher floor but a lower ceiling than Edgerrin Cooper. Edgerrin Cooper's got a lower floor but a higher ceiling. But what if he doesn't reach that higher ceiling, right? Then you've got an extremely low floor and you end up whiffing on that guy because he's just an athletic freak. So I struggle with that just a touch. I really do. Next is Kamari Lassiter in the 42 spot cornerback out of Georgia, and a lot of Georgia Bulldogs in this draft again this year. I've got Kamari Lassiter worthy of the 41st pick on my horizontal board, actually the 40th pick. So I would love that at 41. That's right there in that range. Next would be defensive lineman Braden Fisk out of Florida State. I think I'm a little bit lower on Braden Fisk than most people. Braden Fisk is in the – yeah, he's worthy of the 62nd spot for me. He was also a Senior Bowl participant, so he may be on the Packers' radar there at 41. Let's see who else we got. Tyler Newbin. Bet you guys can't guess how high I am on Tyler Newbin, huh? So Tyler Newbin, I got to scroll back up my board. Tyler Newbin, according to my horizontal board, you know how I told you guys Nate Wiggins, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, and Enos Rakestraw Jr. were right there in that same pocket, that same cluster of prospects? I got Tyler Newbin right dead in the center of those guys. So he is worthy of the 22nd pick, according to my horizontal board. I know many people would disagree with that. That's totally cool. That's just where he lands on mine. Enos Rakestraw, they got him. He's in the 38th spot. Again, he's right there in that cluster with Tyler Newbin I was talking about. Next, they got linebacker Peyton Wilson in the 41 spot right there at that 41st pick. Peyton Wilson on my horizontal board is the second best linebacker in this draft. I've got him worthy of the 40th pick, and he's only behind Junior Colson. And he's just slightly one tier below Junior Colson, in my opinion, on my horizontal board. Next, you got offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataya. I'm sure I've been butchering that this whole time. I'm not going to get hung up on the pronunciations. You guys know who I'm talking about. If people want to try to dunk on us for not knowing how to pronounce every name in the draft, they can go kick rocks. Let's see here where I've got him. I've actually got Suamataya in the 40, worthy of the 44th pick. He's one spot. I mean, they're neck and neck, but he's slightly higher than Tyler Guyton on my big board. But again, he was at the Senior Bowl. He doesn't check those other two boxes with top 30 visit as well as the threshold max as Tyler Guyton does. And we know how Goody loves his athletic traits, right? So next you got interior offensive lineman Zach Frazier. When we look at Zach Frazier on the horizontal board, let's see what we got here real quick. I've got him as the second best center, okay? And he's a Senior Bowl participant. He is worthy of the 28th pick, according to my horizontal board. He's just below Cooper Beebe. And I've got Zach Frazier as predominantly a center. You know, some of these guys like Bo Limmer, I've got him as a center slash right guard. He played significant snaps at right guard, I think, last year, if I remember correctly. Zach Frazier has pretty much just played center. So I got Zach Frazier in that 28 spot. I would be okay with him at 41. That might potentially be the center of the future, right? So something to keep an eye on there. And then last but surely not least here for the 41st pick that they're saying might be a potential target for the Packers right around that range is cornerback Mock Sainristil from Michigan. And on my horizontal board, Mock Sainristil is sitting in the 45th slot, which means he's worthy of the 43rd pick. So that's right there in that range for me. Mock Sainristil was a Senior Bowl participant, to the best of my knowledge. He's a cornerback who played slot. He played the majority of his snaps in the slot, and his secondary amount of slots came on the or snaps came on the outside. So he's predominantly a slot corner, but can play outside as well. Might not be ideal at the pro level, but yeah, that's where he sits there. So there you go. And let's see, Jake Shavink mentioned Cooper Beebe has actually played more positions. Let's see what I've got on Cooper Beebe and as far as his snaps and where he played, because I'm really high on Cooper Beebe. I like Cooper Beebe. He's one of my higher graded prospects, I believe, if I remember correctly. Where is Cooper Beebe at? How is he just going to disappear on me like that? There he is. All right. I've got him worthy of the 27th pick. He meets all the athletic, major thresholds there, according to PackerReport.com. He's a Senior Bowl participant, so he's got two of those. Check it off the list, right? I've got him predominantly as a left guard, so I think he played left guard the majority of the snap. And this is all according to PFF. There could be some bad information there, too. I'll never rule that out, right? I'm not going to go back and try to check them and all that good stuff. So, Cooper Beebe, really, really like him as a prospect. I like Christian Haynes a lot. Christian Haynes is slightly higher than Cooper Beebe. But, again, on this horizontal board, since we're done with that, let's just drop it down. I'll pull the board back up real quick for you guys to kind of show you how this pops when you look at how they're color-coded. You see Cooper Beebe right here, right? He is lit up green because he meets those athletic thresholds. And before we wrap up, let me pull that one up specifically and explain to you what I mean by that. According to PackerReport.com's draft guide, these are the thresholds that the Packers take really, really serious. And they put all the offensive linemen into one grouping, okay? Because they do like their offensive linemen to be a little versatile. Actually, no, they separated it with interior offensive line, but you'll see what I'm talking about with tackle. This is what it explains on the interior offensive line. Okay, it says offensive line, tackle, and interior are two of the more predictive positions for what Green Bay likes. Looking at offensive linemen the Packers have drafted in the past, the short shuttle and three cone jump off the page. Okay, it says they also love offensive linemen who have experience playing tackle. Zach Tom was a tier one fit. Sean Ryan was a tier two fit by 3/1000ths of a second. They both played tackle in college. Green Bay did not select an offensive lineman in the 2023 draft, it says here. So thresholds, 4.75 or better shuttle, 7.75 or better three cone. So when you look at Cooper Beebe, he checks all the boxes. His RAS was a 9.71. His age is 22 years old. Anything under 25 is kind of ideal for the Packers. He had a shuttle of 4.61, which it needs to be under a 4.75, which he checked the box there. Cooper Beebe also checked the box with the three cone, which should be less than a 7.75. He got a 7.44, and he has tackle experience. So that's the reason that Cooper Beebe checked all the boxes there at left guard. So, again, just something to kind of keep an eye on. But I wanted you guys to see the board here, to see the color code and what we're talking about, because I know some people weren't tuned in last night. When you look at these positions, go, okay, who fits where, right, as far as the thresholds go. You see Trey Benson's the first running back that really meets the thresholds as far as what the Packers typically like. Roma Dunze obviously going to be off the board. So outside of Roma Dunze, if you go down, the next wide receiver that kind of fits the mold is Jalen McMillan out of Washington. He's significantly lower, right, on the board. tight ends, there are plenty. You got Ben Sinnott down there, Jaheim Bell. You got Jared Wiley. They all meet those thresholds. Theo Johnson, Cade Stover. You'll see Brock Bowers isn't lit up because his profile is incomplete with no complete RAS card. Joe Alt met the threshold. Graham Barton did. Again, I put him at left tackle because that's where all his snaps were taken in the last 2 years. Again, he'll probably play on the inside, but we're just going to go off of what they played in college for the most part. Dominic Pooney's another one that meets that. There you see Tyler Guyton lit up in the gold. And again, he's lit up in the gold because he meets all three of those thresholds. He was a top 30 visit. He met the thresholds. He's a top 30 visit, and he was a Senior Bowl participant. If you go over to interior offensive line, and again, excluding Graham Barton, who we've got over at left tackle, Cooper Beebe really stands out here. You'll notice Christian Haynes has got a higher grade on my horizontal board. So does Powers Johnson. Both of those guys didn't meet the maximum threshold, or they have an incomplete profile. And that's where if the Packers met with them, they'll be able to check those boxes. There's no other interior offensive line that met that full threshold down there. So just something to keep an eye on there. Defensive line, you've heard us talk about Byron Murphy. We love Byron Murphy, right? We love Johnny Newton. They didn't meet the threshold. Now, it could be that they didn't complete their profile. I know Johnny Newton, to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen a full RAS profile. Maybe that's available now, so I'll try to get that updated. Tavondre Sweat's in the red because of the legal issues, right? Just a red flag there, that. And it sounds like he came into the Senior Bowl a little overweight, didn't weigh in. Chris Jenkins is one that's lit up in the green. I really hope they draft Chris Jenkins. When you look at defensive linemen in this draft, Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton are at the top of the hill, right, with Byron Murphy kind of edging him out barely. Tavondre Sweat would be, but he's probably going to drop because of the legal stuff and the weight issue. Chris Jenkins is next. Chris Jenkins was that guy when we did our exercise and broke down like the top five defensive linemen in this draft and said, okay, how many of them some are like really good pass rushers, not as good of a run defender. Some are a really good run defender and not as good a pass rusher. Chris Jenkins was second in both categories, both pass rush and stopping the run. He's just a well-rounded defensive lineman. I'd love to see him in Green Bay. And again, that would suggest they may be interested in him. Michael Hall Jr. was a top 30 visit as well as Senior Bowl. So he didn't meet the threshold, but that's what that magenta color is they were a top 30 visit and they were a Senior Bowl participant, which the Packers really like those guys. You see Leatu Latu, edge defender out of UCLA, arguably the best pass rusher in this draft. He was at the Senior Bowl. I've got him in red because of the neck injury, just something to kind of keep an eye on. I need to put Jonathan Brooks in the red as well because it's a running back that obviously you got that ACL he's coming off of. They're saying he's going to be available or be ready, but we'll see. Marshawn Nealon was a top 30 visit as well as Senior Bowl. Austin Booker, edge defender out of Kansas, was a top 30 visit as well as Senior Bowl. So there's your edge defenders towards the top. And then as we round it out here, we'll wrap this big bear up. Linebacker, the big thing about linebacker, and we've talked about it, look at this huge void here in the first round, right? Like there's no linebackers there. They don't come in on the horizontal board until what's worthy of the 35th pick, and that is Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan. But you notice no threshold, no Senior Bowl, no top 30 visit, right? Doesn't mean they're not going to take him, but that's something that I wouldn't put my money on them taking Junior Colson, although you guys know I would love that. Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State. He was a Senior Bowl participant. There he sits. Cedric Gray, in worthy of the 47th pick, is the next linebacker on my list. 33rd team has him as a true mock. You'll notice here, too, if you look, see the M. It's LB-M. That means the 33rd team has him as a mock, being Junior Colson. They've got LB-W means they've got Peyton Wilson as a will. And all it takes is one NFL coach to go, nope, you're going to be our mock, and that changes, right? It's just the more information, the better, in my opinion. Cedric Gray, mock. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., even though he's short, they got him listed as a mock. He's kind of that gap destroyer type player. Now, the problem with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is the size. It would be going out of the realm of normality when you look at the way the Jets and the 49ers play the mock. Both of their teams have mocks that are 6'2" or taller. So that would be, if you're going in that vein of the old Pete Carroll coaching tree with Robert Saleh and Jeff Hafley's ties there, and the 49ers, and obviously in Houston as well, now with D'Amico Ryans down there as head coach, you would say, all right, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. doesn't fit that athletic profile to be a mock, although they have him listed as a mock on the 33rd team. Edrin Cooper, a will. So if you go with one of these guys, right, that are listed as will, then that means, okay, if they truly are a will backer, like the 33rd team sees them, then it means Quay's going to play mock, right? And I know many people get excited about the thought of Quay playing will so he can be a little more free to play half the field and also be a little more aggressive in that open field tackling as opposed to having to play sideline to sideline with the mock and be that gap destroyer, right? So he can utilize his quickness a little bit more. Now, when you go on down the list here at linebacker, you got Ulofosio. He's in the green. He was also a Senior Bowl participant, so he meets the threshold for linebackers. He's worthy of the 92nd pick. That's someone you might want to keep an eye on at the linebacker position. Then you got our boy Trayvon Wallace way down here, right? Worthy of the 122nd pick. He meets the thresholds. He's a mock, top 30 visit, and a Senior Bowl participant. Above him is actually Curtis Jacobs, linebacker from Penn State, so someone to keep an eye on there. We recently added this Joe Andreessen. Really cool. He met all the thresholds, and he's a lesser-known guy out of Buffalo. He's worthy of the 130th pick, according to the horizontal board. Again, I expect a large majority of these guys to go later than this. I'm just saying the way they're clustered, I would be okay with that if it fell that way. You've got Jalen Ford out of Texas meets those thresholds as well. So if we were to look at cornerback, there are, to the best of my knowledge, no cornerbacks that met the full criteria. Oh, here we go. Willie Drew, a cornerback from Virginia. I guess Virginia State is what it looks like here. And couldn't find where he lined up as far as snaps go. He's worthy of the 165th pick. He is the only cornerback that met the thresholds according to PackerReport.com. Again, it doesn't mean they're not going to draft these guys. Obviously, they're going to take a corner at some point, I believe. Probably do it early, too. It's just many of these guys have incomplete profiles too, so just keep that in mind. Tyler Newbin obviously didn't meet the criteria as far as that goes because we know his RAS was booty cheeks. There's no way that even though I've got him worthy of the 22nd pick, I do not see Goody. There is zero chance. I mean zero chance. I'm not going to put a neck tattoo on this one, this bet here, but I think there's zero chance the Packers take Tyler Newbin with that 25th pick. But again, I've got him significantly higher than the other safeties. The second best safety is Javon Bullard. He was at the Senior Bowl. You've got Oladapo. He's a safety. That's the other thing, too. If you notice with the safeties, I put where the majority of their snaps were last year, and I specified for last year. Tyler Newbin played deep the most and played in the box the second most. Didn't have a significant amount of slot snaps. Okay, so I think we would all agree he's more of a box safety at the NFL level. But it's all about projecting at this point. Javon Bullard, second best safety in this draft, according to my board. He played deep the most and played slot the second most. So he's more of a deep safety or a slot slot corner slash safety there. He was a Senior Bowl participant. Oladapo played in the box the large majority of time and then the slot secondary. So he's more of that slot defender. He was a top 30 visit as well as a Senior Bowl participant. He's worthy of as high as, the 47th pick? No, the 48th pick. So that's interesting there. There's Emilio's guy, Taylor Demerson. He played deep and slot the most out of Texas Tech. There you're seeing Kenshin's ended up landing on my board somewhere around the 64 spot, worthy of the 64 spot or pick, I should say. You got to scroll way down to find a safety that meets the maximum, checks all the boxes for those thresholds we talked about. He's worthy of the 134th pick. That's Evan Williams out of Oregon. He's a safety that played in the box the majority of the time, deep seconds, second most, and then slot a little bit there too. You get late in the draft, you see a lot of these guys that have done deep slot and box, box deep slot, box deep slot. So you get this versatility, and they're going to pick some of these guys up. You know, the NFL is, no doubt about it. Jalen Key meets all the threshold. Isaiah Johnson does. Jalen Carlisle does. And Ryan Watts does. Now, they're a lot lower on the board, obviously. So, hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that wasn't too confusing. And we were able to explain it good enough for everyone that's on the pod, too. We want to make sure you guys and gals are being included as well because y'all are kind of the lifeblood of this whole thing. I know YouTube is really taking off, but we appreciate y'all listening on the pod, no doubt. Let's see what else we got here as we get ready to wrap up. Ian says, I'm tired of Clayton always being so nice. What a bad word, making me look bad. There you go. That's an interesting take there. Ian, appreciate it, though. But I think that was a compliment. I'm not sure. But, yeah. All right. Booty cheeks. Yeah, that's something I had never used that term in my entire life till we started doing the pod, and it kind of took off with me, Jacob, and Tim. That's our nice way of saying don't like him as a player. Just say booty cheeks. So, all right, here we go. We're going to get out of here. Again, wanted to put a show together real quick for y'all because we're not going to be going live tonight. There's a chance that I break away from the festivities later this evening and do a pod. It'll just randomly go live if we do, but I wanted to try to get one in so y'all have something to listen to early on. Do want to give a couple of quick promotions here. Keep in mind, we're going to be doing a live draft party all weekend long. All seven rounds, we're going to be live. Understand there's going to be some dead points, you know, where we might have to step away for a second. Hopefully someone will be on screen at all times hanging out with the chat. But we're going to be live. It's going to be a grind, but we're going to get through it. It's going to be awesome. Keep in mind, we have our giveaway. We're giving away an autographed Paul Hornung jersey, this very jersey right here. It's exactly what it looks like, just like the one right here over my shoulder. We're going to be giving that away during round one of the draft. And the way we're doing that is we're going to put all of our Patreon members on a wheel and spin it, and we'll do it live on the air. That way you guys can see who wins. So if you're interested in supporting the channel and getting yourself kind of in position to get some of these giveaways we got coming up. We got a really cool picture coming up too. I'll explain that later to give it its proper due diligence, but that framed picture is going to be awesome too. So basically, if you're supporting the show with a paid Patreon membership over at Patreon, there's a link in the description of the video. If you go to Patreon and just search Packer Fan Total Access, one word, you'll find us there too. It's just a way for us to give back to y'all that's supporting the show from time to time. I've got a bunch of autographed memorabilia that I already had here at the house that I'm going to start giving away and just giving it back to people who are helping support the channel, man, that type of thing. So really appreciate y'all being a part of the PTA Posse. Again, if you're interested in that, just click on the link in the video description here and go to the Patreon group and join there. So another thing, too, that Ryan's doing, he's going to be giving away a couple of gift cards, I think, to Fogo. I hope I'm saying that right, but it's a Brazilian steakhouse, and evidently they're a large chain. I haven't seen any in my area. It doesn't mean there's not any in Knoxville or maybe Nashville down here in Tennessee, but pretty cool. He said, ready for the NFL draft, join our game and win big. Predict players, the Packers draft for a chance to win a $125 Fogo gift card. Okay. All you got to do is you click on this tweet at @pack_daddy. You'll see the tweet that he has posted there. He'll probably have it pinned, I would imagine, too. But you fill out that form and submit your predictions for the draft. You basically fill out how you think the Packers draft is going to go, right? And the person that gets the closest to the real life thing is going to win. They're going to pick two lucky winners will be chosen. Don't miss your chance to enjoy a delicious feast at Fogo de Chao. I guess I'm saying that right. I don't know. I could barely speak English, much less another language. But anyway, make sure you guys get yourself entered into that contest. And if you're on Twitter, too, and you go and pull this tweet, go ahead and retweet it, too, man. Let's get that thing cranked up for Ryan. We appreciate him and everything he does here on PackerNet Podcast. So with that being said, we are done. Woo, there's a lot of talking. Hour and 12 minutes. Shows, the closer we get to the draft, man, the shows get longer. Doug said that's what she said. That was perfect. He's probably saying it for something else, but hey, it worked, right? Let's go ahead and hit you with that real quick if I can find it. Where's it at?
That's what she said.
So there you go. And again, rest in peace, Bill Tobin passed away yesterday. Got to hit it for you guys once.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way?
It was one of the greatest NFL draft soundbites in the history of professional football. You just love it, man. Hate to see him pass away. What a excellent football life that man lived. Obviously was still having an impact within the Cincinnati Bengals organization too. So really cool stuff there. Like I said, thoughts and prayers go out to his family, and a job well done, sir. Appreciate everything you did to contribute to the game of football. But all right, we're out. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack, go.
The power sweep actually is the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.